Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see Conception Bay, Newfoundland. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine, ProfitGuide.com. Today, this is going to be a lot of fun. Tony Stubblebine is with us. Tony is the founder of Coach.me, Coach.me. It's going to be fascinating, virtual coaching. Tony, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Robert, it is a pleasure to be here.
I love what you're doing on your site, Coach, C-O-A-C-H, Coach.me. Build your career, get in shape, learn a new skill, virtual coaching, lots of information to support it. But let's go back a bit. Tell us about yourself and why you founded Coach.me.
Well, I'm a longtime startup person. I started as an engineer and then was an engineering manager and actually was part of the team that launched Twitter originally. Then I went on to try to be an entrepreneur, and I had no idea how to do it. Probably like a lot of us, I had seen one part of how to run a business, but I'd never seen any other part. How do you design a product? How do you sell a product? How do you support a product? As I was doing that, I just got really interested in how do you do it well? Like the people who are good at business, were they born that way or were they trained that way? And one of the things that I ended up seeing over and over again is that there is some sort of hidden support network behind so many successful people. And so usually we say coaching is the secret weapon of elite performers. And that's true anywhere that you look. It's true in business. It's true in music. And I thought, A, for myself, why can't I have a team of coaches supporting me, helping me be awesome? And then I think obviously there's a business here. We could make an amazing impact on the world if we could bring coaching to every ambitious person in the world, essentially.
So presumably, well, not presumably, I know that you believe, but maybe explain it to me, why virtual coaching is a viable business model.
I was surprised to go back and do the business research on it. It's not just, is it interesting to me? I also have to prove it out and give a rationale for why we would do this. So it turns out the coaching market is a $9 billion market already. Because I think of it as this incredibly rare and inaccessible perk that very few people have access to. And there's essentially two huge problems in the existing coaching market. One is bound by geography. Is the best coach in the world someone who lives in the same town as you? If not, you're kind of screwed in that front. And then the other is it's structurally tied to a very high price point because it's built around the idea that you're going to spend an hour face-to-face with your coach every week. Both of those are easily solved when you move to digital coaching, which means that you have access to the best coaches in the world, regardless of where they live, both because it just doesn't matter anymore. All the coaching is being performed online, and also because by performing it online, you actually get to measure the performance of coaches. So now there's actually a very clear indicator of who the best coach in the world even is. And then also, the coaching stops being about having an hour-long conversation on Monday that maybe you forget about by Friday, and starts being about checking in every day and making daily progress and improvements to your business or whatever you're working on. That actually makes it a lot easier for coaches to fit this into their day and for it to be a much more affordable price. So like just to make that really concrete, the executive coach that I work with in person, his general fee is $600 an hour. But we have business coaches that will work with you for as little as $15 a week.
Well, and I love the fact that besides the fee for coaching, there's the free app to help me track my personal improvement toward my goals, because I know from using other apps, feedback and self-accountability and monitoring is everything when it comes to self-help type initiatives. I want to move a little bit further now and talk about some of the things that you've learned by being an entrepreneur and that you're learning by virtue of coaching the world, if you will. So let's look at some of the issues that entrepreneurs have. What would you say are the worst habits that entrepreneurs are consistently guilty of?
The number one is you have to be able to make the switch from a task-oriented view of the world to a priority-oriented view of the world. This is really summed up in how you treat your to-do list. When you were an individual contributor, probably you were thinking, how much work can I get done each day? How many items could I get checked off my list? But as soon as you start to realize the impact of your work and how one task has a really meaningful impact on your business and another task has no impact on your business, you realize that actually the whole game is setting priorities well. And it's incredibly easy to get trapped in the other mode of thought and to work in a really reactionary way, but you're so on the hook for figuring out the high impact work that if you don't make that a habit, your business is really in trouble. And I think the other related to that is to always be in reactionary mode. When I talk to entrepreneurs, one of the first things I ask them is, when do they check email for the first time during the day? And it's really common that they check email before they've even gotten out of bed. And that just sets you up to be responding to what email got showed up in your inbox overnight, rather than what is the key initiative that's going to drive your business forward. Does that make sense?
It does. So are you suggesting, and I've talked to some time management people who say keep email off except for 3 or 4 times a day and do it as a regulated task. Are you an adherer of that model? Or are you saying start early in the morning, keep it available, react, communicate? Which camp are you in?
Yeah, definitely in the first camp, that you should have a very controlled, batch-oriented relationship with email. And you should really be very intentional about where you put your time. And it's possible that responding to email is the best use of your time, but it's not likely. Probably most entrepreneurs who are listening have much more important things that they could be working on. If you start thinking about email in a batch mindset, one of the things you start doing is building up infrastructure around you so that allows for you to not be required to give instant feedback. So there's business advice that I got a long time ago, which is there's this general perception as a CEO who makes rapid-fire decisions. How many decisions can you make per day? And so when someone comes to you for help, you just make the decision for them. And that this conception of the CEO is incredibly flawed, and it would be much better for the CEO to be aggressively looking for what are the principles that drive the business. And so every time someone comes to you asking for a decision to be made, instead of making the decision for them, you tell them what principle they should apply in order to make the decision for themselves. And that gets you out of the roadblock for decisions being made, and you free the whole company up to be able to make decisions on their own, whereas you're just deciding on the core principles by which the company is going to run. I feel like people that are addicted to their email are basically addicted to being the decision maker, and they should definitely be getting out of that role.
Now, I know that there are best habits that I've seen successful entrepreneurs stay strictly to. It keeps them on track. I've seen best habits that good entrepreneurs stopped keeping, and then they fell into a failure trap. What are the 3 best habits that you see and that you believe that entrepreneurs need to adopt in order to stay successful in all aspects of their business?
I just give you 2. The first thing you should do is prioritize your day. And I've seen this done in a number of ways. It can just be how you structure your to-do list. Some people define this habit in terms of actually blocking out their calendar for the day. I have a friend who describes it as they want their calendar to look as if they're the president of the United States. Like every minute of the calendar is spoken for and thought over. The second one, this when you're talking to people, make it a habit to be answering with the driving philosophy rather than the handing out answers willy-nilly. The last one, I just hear this over and over again, is meditation. You know, I come from this world where I grew up in Northern California, and so I have the leftover vestiges of the hippie life out here. I think of meditation as very spiritual. I keep running into entrepreneurs who consider meditation to be the core workout for their mind, essentially doing push-ups for your brain. How can you make your brain stronger in every respect? And so we've actually done a lot of research. But we've helped, I think now more than 85,000 people pick up meditation habit. And in that, we looked at how did the meditation help them from a performance standpoint. And so both by looking at our community and talking to researchers, it turns out that meditation, you could treat it as a core practice for overcoming procrastination, a core practice for increased focus, a core practice for better presence, a core practice in overcoming cognitive biases, and a core practice for increased creativity at work. Basically, all the things that you would want in order to be an amazing entrepreneur, you can help train for that by having a meditation practice. And when I say meditation, I'm talking about 5 or 10 minutes a day. This isn't like a 2-hour chanting session at the local Zen center. It's a really simple core meditation practice ends up being a key habit for ton of elite performers that we're talking to.
Tony, this is show number 375. In all the 8 or 9 years of doing these interviews with leading entrepreneurs, influencers, authors, educators, nobody has mentioned meditation as a key to entrepreneurial success. So well done. And I commit, I'm going to find a business meditation coach that I can bring on that can share some insight with us. That is a fabulous, fabulous tip that I'd never heard.
I think people are a little bit afraid because meditation has a lot of what I would call woo-woo. It doesn't feel serious. People still think of it as spiritual. And it's totally legit to to treat it as spiritual. But what I always try and get across to people is that it's also legit to treat it as a performance practice. I have video of LeBron James meditating while he's on the bench. Here we have the best basketball player in the world in the most competitive moment of his life, just wants to refocus. And you see him close his eyes and start taking these deep breaths. And if you've ever watched someone meditate, it's so obvious that that's exactly what he's doing in that moment. So I'm glad to share it.
I'm going to try and do that deep breath thing on my golf game because I need a new coach. But I want to talk for a second about having you share a story about how coaching helped a mediocre entrepreneur become wildly successful. Let's move beyond meditation. Let's go back to coach.me.
I saw this question before I came on. I just thought it was such an interesting question. So I basically feel like, isn't every entrepreneur mediocre? We talk about the success, but it's actually, I feel like entrepreneurship is the one job that's impossible to do well. The coaching experience that I've been able to watch someone over the course of their career is that in 2005, I worked for this company, Odeo, which is what Twitter spun out of. My boss was Evan Williams, who went on to be one of the Twitter founders and CEO of Twitter and is now CEO of the new company, Medium. And when he was at Odeo, he got a lot of flack for not making decisions fast enough, not being assertive enough. And I thought about this was actually a pretty common pattern where he was hiring people and really hoping that they would solve a lot of the cultural problems in the company. So it was up to me as one of the middle managers, up to this other guy, Tim Roberts, who was running product, to define a lot of the processes in the company. And it just turned out that the processes we defined didn't really fit with Ev. So through the process of then starting Twitter, and he started to get coaching over that time, and then now fast forward 10 years, he's in the same building that we're in right now. He's one of our investors. We're good friends. And I get to watch him run Medium. And Medium is one of the most innovative, well-run companies that I've ever run into. And one of the reasons that that is true is because Ev has a very defined sense of what the culture of the company should be. And he's very assertive about making that happen. And I share an executive coach with him. I have a lot of insight into how that happens. And I think it's just basically one of the things that a coach can help you do, help you define who you are and who you want to be as a leader, and then put that into practice. And not always overnight. I mean, often you'll have a quick win, but when we look at coaching, we often see relationships that are 5 or 10 years long. And I'm really proud to look at this entrepreneur who you would consider to be a top performer. I mean, he is a billionaire because of Twitter. He started 2 or 3 companies that people think of as major startups out here. But even he keeps investing in his own performance. And that's the coaching success story beyond myself that I've been close to. I've been able to see so many data points around it.
And that's a great story, and it's a name brand guy, a name brand business, made his money over and over again, and still retains the coach. So having said that, let's just move to my final question. That is, what are the tips, what are the 3 tips you would share with entrepreneurs about engaging a coach, but more importantly, about using the coach's talents wisely?
The first one for people who are just starting with a coach is just to recognize that it's a collaboration. They don't just come in and fix you. You have to work on it together, and you have to be ready to work on yourself. And most people are, but sometimes there's a little bit of a misconception when you're getting started. The other thing, which I think is really powerful, is that now that there's starting to be more coaches online, especially through Coach.me, you can think of coaches sometimes as specialists. And so when you're working with the coach, there's one thing at a time that you're going to work on. Maybe I'm going to work on my productivity. Maybe I'm going to work on my leadership. Maybe I'm going to work on my hiring practices. Maybe I'm going to work on my networking. Maybe I'm going to work on my sales. And now that you have access to so many coaches and so easy to vet who's good and who's not, you can just kind of go piece by piece, level up all of these different characteristics of yourself, and doesn't necessarily have to come from the same coach. This is sort of new to the coaching industry, but I'm starting to recommend more and more. Cycle through coaches as you improve various parts of your life. And you can always go back to a coach that you liked or if you feel like you need a refresher in some area of what you're working on. And then the other is just the mindset of whether it makes sense to make time for coaching. And I always go back to a Warren Buffett philosophy around compounding interest. His autobiography called Snowball. And the metaphor there is start with a small snowball and you roll it down a steep hill. It gathers momentum, and by the bottom of the hill, it's just this massive multi-billion-dollar enterprise. And that's the Warren Buffett story. You always bet on compounding interest. And one of the things that's easiest to compound is your own ability. Companies go out of business all the time, and so you can't always bet on your own company. You may end up selling it. You may end up not working. But you can bet on yourself that you're going to have, you know, I was a CEO for the first time at 27. I think of, I've got 50 years to work on being the best CEO I can be. So it makes a lot of sense to always be invested in myself.
Well, I promise you that we'll check back in with you well before the 50 years. Tony Stubblebine, founder, coach.me, coach.me. Tony, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you. It was fun.
Until next time, I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to know about reactionary mode accounting, check us out at benegold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Conception Bay, Newfoundland.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.